This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What I don't want is my super talented athletic 6'8 wing with great handles settling for threes. But the Celtics three-point culture is demanding it. So it puts Jason Tatum, a collaborative nice guy, in a weird spot. His free throw numbers have gone down three straight years. Why? Because the Celtics want more threes, and if you shoot threes, you don't get to the free throw line. That's why it took Jimmy Butler for the Warriors to finally get to the three-point line. So Tatum can easily beat guys off the dribble all night long. But he keeps getting to the free throw line less and less because the Celtics are paralyzed. They have this culture where they're just paralyzed. We got to shoot 55 threes. And I think it puts Jason Tatum, a nice guy and a collaborative guy, in a weird spot.
Colin Cowherd on Jason Tatum yesterday. I know he's done a lot of ripping the Celtics and Tatum over the years.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear that answer.
He's a nice guy.
It's basically like he's so nice and so accommodating, he just goes along with the plan.
I mean, you're kind of letting him off the hook a little bit. What? You don't think Tatum likes taking a lot of threes?
You don't think Tatum settles? You think Tatum is just doing what they want? I mean, on some level, he is doing what they want. I get that. And he's going along with the philosophy, which is jacking up a million threes.
Right.
True.
Right.
But he's the one settling. He's the one taking step backs. He's the one choosing not to go to the rim. All just because, what, he's a people pleaser? That's what we're supposed to believe?
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Me neither.
Because he's a guy that, of all the players on the team, if somebody just needed to score, just like, hey, we need a score, he's the most likely to do it. He's the best equipped to do it. He could score at every level. Like, he's one of the best players in the league. But, yeah, like, a lot of those guys, especially because they can hit him, like, he hits enough threes where you're just like, all right, that is a good shot for me. I'll shoot from out here. And then, oh, the coach likes this philosophy. The rest of the team is doing the same thing. It allows me to sort of, you know, even rest a little bit on this possession because I am playing such big minutes. So I don't think it's his demeanor which allows him to be like, yeah, I'm good with this. I think it's easy to fall into that.
So, yeah, I think that's letting him way too much off the hook. It's like, whatever. He just shoots threes because the Celtics shoot threes. He just goes along with it.
It's not like...
I think there is some of that, like, follower, go along with it, people pleaser in his personality. I don't disagree with that. But I don't think that's the shot selection.
I would buy that more if there was a couple nights where you look up and you're like, oh, he had the third most shots on the team or the fourth most. Like, he has the most shots on the team just about every single night.
We said earlier the number's 60 tonight for threes.
Yeah.
Terp looked it up. I think they've done that 5 times rather this year. But they've done it twice against the Knicks in 5 games. They did it game one of the playoffs. They did it game one of the regular season.
It is funny. It's the opposite of the Magic. The Magic won't let you take threes. You play them in the first round, and you really don't take threes. I remember there was a game that they took. They didn't make 1.5. Like it was astonishing. You had to like double check. You're like, they only attempted 6. How many players on the team took 6 last game?
Oh,
4, 5,
probably
6.
Everybody, in
maybe
the lineup,
everybody.
Yeah.
So
how many players? That's a good question. How many players took 6?
The Knicks are kind of the opposite because
7!
It might have been.
Hang on.
Let's see. It was Tatum. It was Holiday. It was White. It was Brown.
So 4 of them.
And Horford and Pritchard each took 5.
Pritchard and Horford were one away. I guarantee, although he took none in the game, if Porzingis was getting his normal allotment of minutes, he probably would have jacked
up. Same with Hauser. Hauser played 4 minutes, took 2 threes. So those two guys, because of injury and the trots or whatever is going on with Porzingis, although probable.
I was just going to say that. He's apparently probable for tonight.
Yeah, I guess. Did you see? So Tom Cuddy, who is like a BZAM guy, I think, or was?
Yeah, he's a former he's a former rival of mine. I don't know that he knows that, but he's a former rival of mine. Yeah.
Same. So anybody knows when, like, it's not a press conference and it's more like a scrum. Like, you'll see those shots where it's like 300 microphones. Right. At least it feels like 300 microphones.
With a hand and a microphone and a holding mic up, flag, like, jamming it in somebody's face.
It's everybody's doing that. You need to box out, get position. It's really obnoxious, but it was something that we a lot of us have had to do. And you're over there, whether it's a practice or if it's at the garden, whatever. This one guy had like a microphone tied to a giant stick. Not like an outdoor wood stick, but like a metal stick.
What do you mean, a boom mic?
Yes.
I mean, basically, yes.
Yes, you brought and a boom mic like he was working on a movie.
He'd be 10 feet behind everybody, and he would take his microphone and just
shimmy it through everybody's face. You're like, it's hitting you in the neck, and you're like, get out of here with that.
If you're watching on Twitch, here's what he'd do to your microphone. Twitch.tv/BostonWBA, he'd take your microphone and go.
Yeah. He'd bump it. Bump your microphone right out of the way. You're like, I'm in here. I'm like, I need this mic flag.
I got position. Ref.
I need this mic flag to really pop on here.
Ref, I'm boxing out. I got position. Like, what are you doing? He's over the back. This is over the back.
Yeah.
So he probably doesn't realize he's a former rival. No. A former rival. What was his tweet?
So he tweeted, and the tweet is still up. He apparently covers the Celtics, I guess, now? Or at least he's all the team. I don't know what he does.
Yeah, he's in there clunking microphones. I know
so
what he
does.
So
if you're looking for him, he's at Tom Cuddy Sports.
Yep.
Just to make sure you know that it's sports. He's not a weather guy. He's not a news guy.
No. You got to get in there.
He's a lot of sports.
There's a lot of Tom Cuddies on Twitter. You might get confused. He's the sports one.
He said, Celtics-Knicks game 2 tomorrow with Kristaps Porzingis listed as doubtful. Wrong. Which is wrong.
You sure about that?
With. No, he gives you the with.
Yeah.
Havana syndrome.
You sure about that?
At W that he has like the he tags.
You sure about that?
What is that? So what even is that?
Is this just like a snarky joke? Is that what this was?
I don't think. Well, first of all, the doubtful's wrong. He's listed as probable. He tweeted it out. Nobody had any of it.
Yeah.
I even sent it to our group chat. I'm like, Terp, what even is this?
I think I looked this up when you sent it.
Havana syndrome is like a thing that is not even recognized by like science.
Well, I remember it in the news. Wasn't it where people were like having ear problem,
like you lose your balance.
Yeah, like inner ear problems and stuff like that. They thought
Wikipedia
the Cuban
made it sound like a chemical weapon.
Oh, okay, I thought it was like when people thought the Cuban government was like screwing with people when they were in Cuba, like other like dignitaries. And
it says Havana
like that.
Syndrome is characterized by a variety of symptoms, including dizziness, headaches, pain, and cognitive problems. It is not a disease recognized by the International Classification of Diseases Diagnostic Manual.
Nice.
So it may or may not be a real
thing. You can't deny science.
I think.
True.
I think he was going for a zinger.
Was he?
I think.
But he left the tweet up. He's not even doubtful, though. The Celtics came out like an hour after the fact, and he's like, probable. So he's not even right about
honestly,
that.
Honestly, with
is it a hilarious joke? What's the joke?
Honestly, with Porzingis, I would rule nothing out. Havana syndrome's in play. I would rule nothing out with Porzingis.
But the injury report tonight.
He's one of the 462 people or whatever have it.
There are dozens of us.
Yeah.
Porzingis, on the official injury report by the Celtics, has a non-COVID illness.
Yeah, it's not COVID. We established this.
The non-rapid came back.
Yeah, they did a second test.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Probable.
Yeah, good.
Probable. Sam Hauser, meanwhile, is doubtful with a right ankle sprain.
So what's the joke?
What's the joke?
They're just swabbing Porzingis' nose. They're like, it is not. It is absolutely not COVID.
Just touching his brain with the swab. Oh, that was something else.
I'm assuming he was going for a zinger there. And it didn't. I don't think it landed.
Didn't land.
But
and you
know,
got to get the distinction
shoot.
Right.
Shooters got to shoot.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Shooters do shoot. You saying Tom Cuddy shooter?
I guess.
All right.
Let's mix in some phone calls here. Are the Celtics ripe for an upset? Is game 2 a must win? And is Tatum going to bother showing up tonight? That would be nice. That would help. Chris is in Nashville. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
I don't think we're giving the Knicks enough credit here, and I'm going to tell you why. I mean, people keep talking about the first, you know, the four games during the regular season that we beat the you-know-what out of them. But if you throw out that first game where we shot astronomical, the next two games, the Knicks didn't have their full complement of their roster. Mitchell Robinson, I believe, was a midseason acquisition, and granted, you're going to go hack a shack on the guy. He's still a defensive presence in the middle. They're clogging up the middle. Tatum's having a hard time driving to the hoop. They're minimizing our bench.
Keith, this is a real thing in New York, by the way.
Mitchell Robinson. So real quick,
there's a real thing going into game one. Then
the Knicks were undermanned in the regular season.
Well,
Brunson played every game. No, Towns played every game. Hart played every game. Bridges played every game. OG Anunoby missed one.
I disagree with it. I'm just telling you, in New York, that's the defense is different when Mitchell Robinson's out there. You saw it in the game. He only played one regular season. It's the one regular season game against the Celtics that went to overtime.
Come on, guys.
I reject it.
Mitchell Robinson?
I'm just telling you, that's a real narrative.
I reject it.
Saw him in game one, and he really shouldn't even be on the floor.
I think the Celtics were more injured, actually, in their games against the
I believe it. They only had Porzingis for half of them. So, no, I don't think the Knicks were undermanned. I heard Hart saying this yesterday. He's not wrong. The games have all kind of they've gotten more competitive as we've gone along. Like, it was a blowout in game one. There were some other blowouts mixed in. Third game was closer. Fourth game was an overtime loss. Fifth game's an overtime win for the Knicks.
So it was three blowouts and an overtime win for the Celtics. So, but in the regular season, I think you can look at those. So Mitchell Robinson, he's the seventh guy on a team that's five deep. They missed OG Anunoby for one game. The Celtics, meanwhile, you said no Porzingis for two of the games, no Drew Holiday for one of them, and no Al Horford for one of them.
Yeah.
And Jalen for a half.
Also fair.
The last one he played 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's true.
The one close game, right?
He should have played none. He was trying to get to 65 games.
Oh, so close. Oh, when are we getting the All-NBAs? We haven't gotten those yet.
Good question.
I mean, he's not eligible. That's the only reason he's not making it.
Should be soon.
Yep.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Bob's in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You're probably somewhat right. Are they in a situation
probably.
to have things go wrong? Maybe. But I'll say this. For being the defending champs, not just because of the other night, they just don't seem to have that strongness about them. And I think if and when they get to another round with a tougher opponent, I think that's when you may see some of the stuff you're talking about. That reality may just settle in, and maybe they're just not going to go that deep this year.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a real negative take on it.
I would just say, outside of the second half of Game 5 against Orlando, I don't really know when they've looked like they're dominating selves. All postseason. I don't know when they've looked that way. And so, I mean, game one and game two against Orlando were relatively easy home wins. But if you remember, they were losing at halftime at game one. Game four, it was a tie game with 4 minutes to go. And we said this going into game five. I'm like, I've been kind of underwhelmed with the Celtics. They're up 3-1. I've been kind of underwhelmed. Then they went out and didn't score from three in the first half of that game. Were they down at halftime in game five? I can't remember.
I think it was close. It was a similar formula to some of their other games.
They blew doors in the second half because they made a bazillion threes. Now they've lost game one to the Knicks. I don't think there's been long stretches so far this postseason where they look like themselves. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
Will it continue? Will it matter? We can debate all that, but I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, they haven't looked like themselves for long stretches.
The last team to win back-to-back titles was the Golden State Warriors, right? 17-18. And they cruised pretty easily, five-game series each in the first two rounds. And then they were down 3-2 in the conference finals to the Rockets. Remember, they were down 3-2 to Harden.
Yep.
And then Harden's like, oh, these games really matter. Crap. And he really kind of fell apart. But, I mean, that was the last team to do it. And they did face adversity, and they were able to overcome that and then move on. And, well, they swept the Cavs in the But they were much better than the Cavs. But, I mean, they were still, they faced elimination in a couple of games.
617-779-7937. Can I just brush something aside real quick?
Please do.
Text line says, so the guy who had 16 rebounds and 6 assists didn't show up. How many rebounds did Karl Anthony Towns have last
Probably
game?
A pile.
I think it was 13.
Yeah.
So a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, 2 piles.
Is anybody going nuts for Karl Anthony Towns with his double-double, or are we all like, he blew in that game? Okay, so let's not overrate it because Tatum grabbed some rebounds. Tatum had a horrible game one. You can brush it aside and say he grabbed some boards. He was asleep on defense. He had a bunch of turnovers. He couldn't shoot. That's not showing up. I don't know how else to tell you that.
Well, it's funny because he did show. It wasn't like a full bad game because he showed up in the first quarter.
First
he was
quarter,
really
he came
good.
Out so shooting
you're like,
hot.
So you're like, oh, he's locked in. Like, they're going to get a really scary Tatum. Like, the Knicks are in trouble. And the South, then, like, he and the rest of the team just kind of, like,
disappeared.
Went away?
Disappeared. So, again, if rebounds matter, Towns grabbed 13 of them. He must have had a really good game one, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Let's get to the Cavs falling apart last night.
Oh,
what does it mean for the Celtics in the East? And now Steph Curry's hurt. What does that mean for the Celtics and their big title aspirations? We'll get to all of it next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.